Hello there, wherever you are within the sound of my voice. You are welcome to this very first episode of the Pharmacy Watch Podcast, podcasting all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. What is Pharmacy Watch Podcast? Pharmacy Watch Podcast is a podcast that was actually designed to talk about everything that has to do with drugs and the pharmaceutical sector in this part of the world. I am Pharmacist CJ, your neighborhood pharmacist. I'm not alone. I have with me in the studio my very co-host, Pharmacist PE. You're welcome.
Thank you, Pharmacist CJ. Hello, everyone listening, and it's a great honor to be here to discuss about the sector that is very dear to my heart, the pharmaceutical sector. And so, being the first episode, we promise you a very good expose.
Today, we'll be discussing a very important topic, the open drug market. We have decided to discuss this topic on this very first edition of the Pharmacy World Podcast because of its importance in the pharmaceutical sector, more so because of the recent effort by the federal government through the Federal Ministry of Health to finally do away with open drug market by the end of this year.
Pharmacist CJ, you will recall that this is not the first time this issue has been brought to the front burner. There have been past efforts to close down this market. And we believe and we hope that this will be the last of it.
It's our desire that the postponement will actually come to an end by the end of this year.
Yeah.
So that by January, we won't see anything like open drug markets within the territories of this country. It's our hope because of our discussion, you will know more about what the open drug market is and the menace it has caused in our society. Before I forget, let me quickly mention that most of our references today will be taken from a book, The Speculative Market, Drug Circuit and Derivative Life in Nigeria. The book was actually written by Christine Patterson.
A very interesting book, I must say. I kept turning the pages till I got to the end. Christine Patterson really did a fantastic expose on the open drug market. And being a foreigner, I felt kind of short
depressed.
Like, well, a foreigner is coming to do what we can't even do. Did a very proper research on the open drug market in Nigeria, and we recommend this book for everyone.
It's a very beautiful book, and everybody should read it. But, Pharmacist PE, what is open drug market?
Yeah, for people who are not conversant with the term, the open drug market can be said to be any space where drug is being sold by an unlicensed person and in an unregistered premise. That's just the simplest definition of an open drug market.
That is an open drug market and illegal places where drugs are sold, or
yes.
Illegal markets where drugs are sold. This market, this illegal market where drugs are sold, has become a menace in our society, which informed the reason for us, one of the reasons why we are discussing this very important topic in this very first episode.
Lots of them in Nigeria.
Yeah, there are so many of them. In this market, drugs are manned and handled by unqualified personnel. The environment is unwholesome and unlicensed, and it's very, very difficult to regulate. There are so many of them in this part of the world or in this country. So we are going to be, Nigeria is divided into North and South, so we'll just pick the most important one that affects, or the first ones, because even when the first law or drug was enacted, I think 1988, we already have this forming market. And when you come to the Southwest Nigeria, in Lagos, we have the Jimota market. We also have there's another one in Munshi.
Yeah, the popular Ojoye market, but it's not even as big. It doesn't come close to the Dimoto market at Lagos Island in Lagos.
And when you go to the southeastern part of this country, we also have the Headbridge market. I think that's, when it comes to the commerce, I think that's the biggest.
Yes, it's often said that, referencing the book now, it's being said that Lagos is the main market. Why Onitsha is a kind of central market? Because Onitsha, neighboring countries feed on Onitsha's supplies. So Onitsha seems to be even more of a major problem.
Even in that same southeast, I think we also have the Abia market in
Abia State. Yes, Abia State.
And when you go to the northern part of the country, we also have the very popular Abuja market, also known as the Sabongeri market. Also, besides this four market that we mentioned, that is the Idimota, the Ariaria, the Headbridge, and the Sabongeri market, there are so many other markets, what we refer to as markets, where drugs are being sold that we can also consider as you know, an open drug market. For instance, the people that hawk drug.
Yeah, we see them on our streets, especially at night. See these women or put some drugs on their trees and put their whatever source of light and display these drugs in very unconducive environment.
In fact, I witnessed one day. My friend and I, we were going somewhere and the car was not good, so we decided to take the public. Okay, we wanted to go and carry his wardrobe, and we decided to take the public bus. There was this girl that was selling one multivitamin, and she said, even if, and we were like, ah, even if someone is dying and you just put the multivitamin in the person's mouth,
unbelievable,
the person will wake up.
And why are we still dying?
And then it also we can also refer to, you know, there are people, especially these herbal medicine sellers or dealers, they have these small cars where they have this public address system.
Yeah, and they just in the markets.
Yes, in every nook and cranny of this country that are there, I'm going to be talking about the so-called doctor who will be telling you that, okay, when you take this drug, it's going to cure your staphylococcus. When you take these things, it's going to do a lot of things. Even pregnant women, women who are having infertility, that when they take the drug, it's going to cure their infertility.
That's what we call bobonise in this part of the country.
Bobonise. These are just a brief explanation or definition of what we refer to in this place as open drug market.
So how did we get here? How? I don't know. In other countries, you know, seem to be getting it right in drug distribution. Why is that? How did we get to this stage that we are now?
You know, we cannot discuss about how we got to this stage without taking into consideration the Nigerian history. When you look at the Nigerian history, taking it from 1950s, 1960s downward to this place, to now, to the present time, you discover that so many things has happened that reshaped the drug industry in this part of the world. In the 60s, when the British were here, the drug were distributed by a company known as Crown Agents. They were the one distributing, they were the one mandated by the colonial masters to distribute drugs in this part of the country or in their colonies.
Yeah, Nigeria happened to be a colony.
Yes, one of their colonies. So, but in 1968, these people left the country. You understand? Mm-hmm. But before then, in 1967, we had the Civil War.
Yeah, of course.
Nigeria fought the Civil War, what is very popularly known as the Biafran War. Then we had the Red Cross headquarters for this for that region there, and so they were involved in training people for medical triage. And then as the war broke out, and there was shortage of personnel, especially medical personnel in the Biafran
region.
Biafran territory. These Red Cross and then some other churches that were involved in humanitarian aid began to train people who were, you know, to train them so that they can be able to administer minimal medical aid, especially to people who are injured. And then when the war ended in 1970, these people already have some knowledge about drug and maybe about selling drugs and, you know, what have you. And then from there, they started opening small stores, forming cooperative, forming association, and then they keep training their children, their sisters, their brothers, and that's how they metamorphose into what we known as what is known today as traders, who are the ones that populate this open drug market that we are talking about. In the 1970s, when the war ended, there was an oil boom in the country, so there was a lot of money. Nigeria had money to buy drugs, irrespective of the amount. So we had Europeans and North Americans who owned branded drug companies here. They were operating here and they were selling their drug. People like Upjohn, GSK, Pfizer, the big companies, they were all here producing. And of course, they employed so many Nigerians who are pharmacists, who today we are very proud of them, because many of them own some of the biggest indigenous companies in this part of the world.
Talking about the MDOs of Nigeria, the SKGs,
the drug fees of Nigeria, and May and Baker, and the rest of them, Mopsin and the rest of them. From when the Crown Agent divested in 1968, the onus of drug distribution now fell to the Pharmacy Board of Nigeria. Now, the Pharmacy Board of Nigeria, besides this new function, they were also in charge of regulating drugs or pharmacy practices in Nigeria. There were shortage of pharmacists as at then. they now handed up this aspect of their function, that is regulation of drug, which was being handed over by Panagel before they left, to the state government. Now, this state government in turn now began to give proprietary medicine vendors licenses to traders. You know that these people has already been trained as a result of the war, so they have experience, and then they went into the business. Some of them got their licenses, and that's how the proprietary medicine vendors license began, and to what we are having today. So as time went on, there was a world economic meltdown, and that world economic meltdown affected Nigerian economy. And then the World Bank through the IMF advised the
Babangida government,
the military government, then to adopt what is today very popularly known as a structural adjustment program. So in 1986, the Babangida, the government under the military government under Ibrahim Badamosi Babangida, IBB, now implemented that structural adjustment program. That structural adjustment program actually impoverished Nigerians. So Nigerians didn't have money to buy the brand name drugs anymore. So because the market was no longer viable for them, so many of them left. And so these other people now came in and took over the market.
Okay, the history is not really complete if we don't really, you know, talk about how these people grew to become what they are today. Because if they were just doing their usual patent medicine job, you know, just selling in small quantities and all that, I don't think probably they would have grown to this extent that they are now. So I think it's important to mention that after the structural adjustment program caused some of these multinationals to divest out of the country, the program also made some youths to start looking for illicit ways to make money.
The structural adjustment program actually affected the country economically, not only those involved in drugs, but those involved in other forms of business. There was no job for the teeming youth of the country, and then some of them had to resort to illegal means of making money. They started trading in narcotic drugs, and those drugs were sold in Europe, and they made a lot of money. And of course, there are laws in Europe, so you cannot be able to launder the money through the banks, and then you cannot carry the money home. So because they had this money and they could not bring it back, they had to find a way of bringing the money back home. So many of them invested the money in buying second-hand clothes, second-hand cars, second-hand computers. And of course, those of them that had a nodding acquaintance about pharmaceuticals also invested the huge money they made from narcotic trading into pharmaceuticals. So when they came into this place, they virtually took over the market.
Okay.
They are financially more buoyant
than the pharmacists of those days.
Of course, the pharmacists saw the thing, well, saw pharmaceutical practice more like a profession, not really like a business, but they saw it from another angle. And of course,
they've already been licensed by the state government to distribute. And the pharmacists were more focused on manufacturing, you know, taking over the plants left by the multinationals and all that.
Let's not also forget the fact that the people who actually traded in narcotic drug are not really the traders who had the patent medicine vendors license. You understand?
Okay.
It was actually youth, but these youth invested in pharmaceuticals. So when they came in, they sold those
drugs. Yeah, of course, they sold the drugs to these
traders.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay. And some of the traders had brothers, they had sisters, cousins, in-laws, as the case may be. So that was actually how they took over this the drug market.
Okay, so I don't think since 1987 down to now is quite a long time, and we cannot say that the government has been closing its eyes to the ordeals of these drug marketers. What have been we'll just take you down the memory lane to bring out the efforts that have been made by government to close down these illegal markets.
Yes, the government has not been sleeping on the oars. They have been trying their best, but we are bold to say that their best is not good enough yet. but we cannot rule out the fact that they have been trying, they've been doing something. The Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria, from Pharmacy Council of Nigeria, they've all been doing a lot of things to ensure that this open drug market comes to an end. As far back as 1992, the Pharmacy Council of Nigeria, as a PCN, revoked the license that gave the traders in Idumota the powers to operate in Idumota. But this, the traders took them to court. And of course,
really?
The traders took them to court. And while they were in court, they argued that the place is not a market. That they are living in the Oba's palace. And of course, you cannot say that the Oba of Lagos is living in a market. So we have to understand something. Let us look at it from another angle. Before any state is created in Nigeria, there are places that are mapped out as markets. Idumota, as it is today, is not a legal market by the Lagos state government. You understand? In fact, if you are moving from Abulegba through Ikeja to Oshodi and to the island, as the case may be, you'll find that Nigerian market comes and goes with traffic.
Yeah, of course. Where there's a population, the market travels.
The market begins to. So, because this market is not actually a legal market from the government point of view, so these people now argued in court that they are not in the market and there is no legality from the government's point of view to show that that place is a market. So they said they are in the Oba's palace.
But from Mr. CJ, you agree with me that from our definition of an open drug market, we said it's any space the drug is being sold. We didn't say it's a market. It has to be a market.
Yes.
If drug is being peddled on my street, it becomes an open market.
Of course,
judgment that supported their own argument.
You know,
because we're talking about the space. We're not talking whether it has been labeled a market or this is a market or that means drug must be sold. As far as I'm concerned, once a drug is sold in an unlicensed premises, it's to me an open drug.
Of course, we all understand, as pharmacists, we all understand that's an open drug market. But when you go to the law court, you understand, we have to look at the law. They have to look at legalities. You understand? So they stood on the legalities that, why do you say that this place is a market? You have to bring evidence to show that it's a market. Do you understand? Did the government of Lagos, while Lagos was being created, or in the course of the history of Lagos state government, have they ever designated that market, that place, officially as a market? The truth is that they have not.
As far as I'm concerned,
it was based on that they won the case, or the judge ruled in their favor. But we have to understand that the laws are very clear. You understand? That drugs should not be sold in an unwholesome environment. There are laws in Nigeria that has actually spelled that out very, very well. Drugs should not be sold in, it should not be repackaged, should not be sold, should not be displayed in an unwholesome environment. You understand what I mean? So based on those laws, we can say that
the Idumota market
is
an open drug market.
It's an open drug market.
So I think that's an effort on the Idumota market. I think we have something on the Sambungare market.
Of course, Sambungare market in 2004. Yeah, in 2004, there was a survey by NAVDAC that showed that 90% of the drugs sold in Sambungare market are registered. And then besides it's not being registered, about 90% of them are written in Arabic.
Imagine.
So Nigeria is seen as an English speaking country.
Yes, and of course, NAVDAC's regulation on labeling says that drug labeling must be in English and any other language, but English first of all. Why would we put a drug label in Arabic? Is it just meant for a specific line of people or something?
No, it's not really because it's meant for a specific line of people. It's just because of where they brought it from. They claim that it was brought from Pakistan. But if you look at that report, the report also says that the drug we are not actually brought in from Pakistan, but we are packaged in different parts of the markets in Nigeria. Also, in 2012, the Kano state government, under the then governor, Rabiu Kwakwanso, closed down the Sambungare market.
Yeah.
The traders under the aegis of Nigerian Association of Patent and Proprietary Medicine Vendors, NAPMED, through its chairman, Labaran Zachary filed a motion next party restraining the government from closing down the market. But the government in December of that same year stuck to their gun and then closing the Sabongeri open drug market. Well, this that particular closure did not go down well with the traders. The traders protested, and then they filed a motion in court. Besides, apart from that, they also threatened the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria. All those that they perceived as, you know,
threats to them,
or they perceived
that colluded in
with the government, or that participated in convincing the government to close down the place. In fact, the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria president, Kano chapter, that's pharmacist Ahmed Dana Mohammed, received death threats on his phone from anonymous calls, telling him that they're going to end this.
Oh.
And all those people who are involved in them.
These are just to show you how hard-hearted these people can be.
Yes.
So, I think we have something on the Onishahed Greek market.
Yes,
I think Dora did something on that.
Yes, and in July 22, 2008, the late Professor Dora Akinde also announced the closure of the Onishahed Bridge market, very notorious market, you know, as fact and survey has shown. But others of us that understand what actually happened there, or had an acquaintance of what actually went down in that market, after that closure, there was a lot of hue and cry from personalities, especially those from the southeast, that the market should be reopened, that the market has been sanitized. In fact, the traders union in that market also gave an official statement that they are not aware, they are not in support of those people who are bringing
fake drugs
into the market. In fact, even the executive governor then, that's Mr. Peter Obi, also,
okay,
you know, employed NAFDAC to market that he has sanitized the market, and that they've been a better place, things have been separated, you know, those are so surgical, those are
I really don't even want to understand what they mean by sanitizing the market. It doesn't just really end in, you know, not bringing in fake drugs.
No, what they mean by actually they've sanitized the market, you know, then you can have somebody who has who's selling drugs, selling surgicals, selling so many things. But I think after that closure, they separated the market.
Oh.
So you separated parts of the market. It's a very big market. So it's okay, you pull on this side, maybe they just, let's say you pull in Headbridge North. Yeah, surgicals. You be in Headbridge South, you know.
Wow.
I think that's actually what they did then. But you know,
add up to anything.
Yes, we are going to discuss that in detail when we have our drug distribution guideline podcast. We're going to do a podcast on the drug distribution guideline, and we'll give you details of what actually went down there.
And also, I think Dora received some threats to her life. In fact, she was actually shot.
Yes, she was shot, and before she was called to glory, an assassination attempt was made on her life.
Mm.
And as God will have it, the bullet just grazed through her scarf, and then she was spared.
We cannot
overemphasize what Dora has done in the pharmaceutical sector. She did so much. She was an Amazon when it comes to the fight against fake drugs.
Because I think she had a direct impact of it. I think one of her relatives actually died as a result of a fake drug that was obtained in the open drug market.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
exactly.
That was a topic for another day.
Yeah.
What about the Araria market?
The Araria market attempts have been made by government as well to close the Araria market. I think that market actually closed in 2002 after NAFDAC discovered that about 75% of the drugs sold there were fake. Also, there are other efforts that have been made by government, you know, to get rid of open drug market or to have a better distribution network for drugs. So the Nigerian government, through the Federal Ministry of Health and in collaboration with the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria, Pharmacist Council of Nigeria, the Association of Community Pharmacists, and all the people involved in drug production, distribution, and
retailing,
whoever, all those people that are involved, they have in collaboration or in concert with the government, they came up with the
National Drug Distribution Guideline, which we are going to emphasize or elaborate on in our subsequent podcast, so you keep up to date with us on that. And we talk about the coordinated wholesale centers.
Yeah, that's the latest. So by the end of this year, when the government, if the government actually match their words with action, those people who are in the market now, they will be moved to the coordinated wholesale centers where the activity will be regulated. You understand? So that's the latest effort by the government to actually do away with open drug market.
I think these coordinated wholesale centers is going to mirror what we have with our central medical stores that operate a kind of drug revolving fund system in most of our states in Nigeria. I know of Lagos, I know of Ogun State, I know of Benin, I know of Delta State. The general hospitals in these states procure drugs directly from a central medical store. And so if we have something like that in the form of the coordinated wholesale centers, I think it would be a good one for us.
You know, now since we don't have the coordinated wholesale center has not really come into full operation.
Yeah, it has not been perfected.
So we don't even know what it's going to look like. But I am aware that the central stores were one of the contents of the National Drug Distribution Guideline.
Okay. What justifies the existence of this market? Why is it that not everyone is seeing it from the same spotlight? Why are some of us for and against the open drug market? Just like we mentioned, the initial Hedbury market was closed down and it had to take the person of the governor to ask it to be reopened. And you were saying something about sanitization, which to me is far from being sanitized. You cannot just tell me because you divided surgicals and you separated surgicals rather from medicals. That means it has been sanitized. I think it goes beyond that.
Anyway, that's sanitization. That's what I think happened. You understand? Mm. It's not official. From the government point of view or from the NAFDAC point of view.
Yeah.
They didn't say okay. They just said there was
a kind of sanitization. And even if it means that, okay, illicit drugs are no longer being brought in, I think it's too far-fetched from what we are trying to project here. We are trying to say that these drugs are kept in a wholesome environment. We are talking about these drugs are not properly stored. There was a research by NAFDAC on oxytocin. Oxytocin is a drug used in obstetrics during delivery to enhance labor and what have you, even for postpartum hemorrhage management.
Yes.
And this is a drug that's a matter of life and death. And we found that these drugs, NAFDAC found that, not me, that these drugs are being stored at high temperatures. When you see the label of this drug, you know they're supposed to be refrigerated. You're supposed to have a cooling system for these drugs. I just discovered that most of these drugs were just lying in the heat of the open drug markets. And then these people were approached like, who supplied you this drug? Didn't the supplier know that this drug is supposed to be in a cooling system or something like that? And they said, okay, the NAFDAC had to actually go back to the suppliers, written on, labeled on the drugs, and ask them, why are you delivering these drugs in unconducive storage systems? And they said, we've stopped producing those drugs for as long as we care. So they don't even know how those people are getting those drugs. Just to tell you, it just goes beyond not even bringing in fake drugs. Are you keeping these drugs the way they ought to be stored? I once visited a wholesale center in Nigeria operated by a group of pharmacists, and I was impressed by this lady. She told me, I told her, okay, I just wanted to hear her view about the open drug marketers, like how they are going to affect her business and all that. She said she doesn't care. She is a professional. She's a professional. She has drugs she stores at 32 degrees centigrade. She has drugs she stores at below 18 degrees centigrade. She has drugs that are stored under 0 degrees centigrade. And you're telling me that the system was sanitized and all that and all that. It goes beyond that. We are talking about proper storage of drugs. And why is the emphasis on drugs? The emphasis is that drugs are chemical substances and they undergo deterioration when placed in an environment not suitable for their for their stability. You understand? We run stability studies on this drug to ensure that at this temperature we are specifying for their storage, this drug will remain okay, fit for use. And then somebody that is sick goes ahead to get this drug, and it has the story is that this drug did not work as it should because it was not properly stored.
I know that's
so when we're talking about sanitization, we're talking about, are they following good distribution practices?
Well, that's one of the reasons why, one of the justifiable reasons why we are advocating from here that the open drug market should be done away with. You see, the law, the position of the law on the sale and handling of drugs in Nigeria is very clear. You understand? The Food and Drug Act 150 of 1999 prohibits packaging, labeling, advertising drugs, and of course manufacturing drugs in and on sanitary conditions. So these laws are not being followed. You understand?
Exactly.
And we begin to ask ourselves, there are laws that prohibits these things that these people are doing. So why are they still doing it? That brings us to the fact that those markets are poorly regulated. You understand? They are
poorly regulated.
They are people who cooperate with themselves, and of course, you understand how the laws operate in Nigeria. When you have money, you can buy your way.
You can buy your
so
way.
So it's advisable. We advocate that the government, through the Federal Ministry of Health, should try to strengthen the regulatory bodies, you know, that regulates the production, the distribution and consumption of drugs in Nigeria. There are so many reasons why we are advocating that the open drug market should be done away with. And there are so many examples that shows that the open drug market has been more of a menace to the country than of good. I personally do not see any advantage that the open drug market offers to the person who
it
is
doesn't.
Using a drug.
People
understand?
Point to the fact that drugs from the open drug market are way cheaper than you can get in any coordinated, in a very good wholesale setting.
Yes.
And why, it's quite funny because I don't know what you expect from somebody who doesn't add any extra costs to protecting the integrity of these drugs. They can afford to sell their drugs with low profit margins because, one, they're not paying anybody. Of course, they don't even care to hire a pharmacist to oversee the premises.
You see, the issue you raised is a very important and a very expedient issue that all regulatory bodies, all concerned citizens should be concerned about it. When we talk about the cheapness of a drug, see, when a product is made or when a good is manufactured, there are certain level of satisfaction that the buyer expects or the end user expects from such products. Let's take, for instance, some of these soft drink that we say, let me use Coca-Cola for instance. You see, after making the drink, they also feel that, okay, this drink, for the end user, the person who is buying it to drink it and enjoy it, it should be cold.
Yes.
It should be chilled. They even go ahead to provide freezers.
Yes, for their distributors.
For their distributors, for the even the retailers,
yeah.
So that they can chew the drink, so that when the air user buys, they have the maximum benefit that mm-hmm. comes from the Coke. So
not
that,
the,
that
not
is
the
just
talk of something as important
as
a drug.
You know, drug is a negative demand.
Yeah, the demand for drug is a negative demand. Nobody ever wants to go out there to get a drug. But at some point in time, you got no option. You just have to go for a drug just to get well and fit back into the society.
Yes.
And then you reach out to this drug, hoping that it's something that is going to make you well, just to discover that it's even worsening your condition.
Exactly. So when we talk about these things, drug being a negative demand, the people taking drug not because they love taking drug or because they take drug because there is need for them to take drug. So when we are talking about these things, when a drug is made, we expect that when a person takes drug, when a drug is prescribed and dispensed, and a person takes the drug, we expect the person to have the maximum therapeutic efficacy of
yes.
that drug. And so, for the person to have the maximum therapeutic efficacy of that drug, the drug has to undergo good storage
conditions.
You understand? Mm. And for you to meet that good storing condition, you need a pharmacist who understands what drug is. You need good store. You need pellets. You need air conditions.
Yes.
You need temperature
something
monitoring
system. Something as simple
system.
As pallets. These people don't even have pills. Something as simple as a pallet.
When you go to an open drug market, you will see for yourself. It's not even... So by the time you put all these things in place, have the personnel, have it regulated, pay your dues and everything, all these things will be added to the profit you are going to, yeah, to be added to the cost. You understand? So that at the end of the day, when a person buys a drug, let's say buys an anti-malaria to take care of malaria, the malaria will be taken care of at the end of the day, because
yes.
they've been properly stored, they've been properly manufactured, properly transported, and properly prescribed and dispensed as the case may be. So you cannot just store drug anyhow, store it wherever you like,
just to maximize
profit.
Just to maximize
so many of
profit.
These people who are handling
another
this drug,
people pay for it with their lives.
Exactly, it's very painful, and so those things are not acceptable. They are not justifiable, and we will keep advising the government. We will keep advocating. We will keep talking so that until these open drug markets are closed.
Yes, just as I was even saying for the oxytocin, we've had issues in the hospital where oxytocin was being given to a woman that had a postdated delivery, induced labor was supposed to be induced, and the doctor kept injecting, and this drug was not working, and a woman was in labor and this drug was not just forthcoming. He had to demand for a particular brand before
There was a therapeutic effect. This issue is an issue that we see for those of us in the community, or those that work in the hospitals. This is an issue they see on a daily basis. We have to understand that sometimes when those drugs were made, they were not fake.
Yes, we're not saying they were fake drugs. We're saying that something has happened along the line of
distribution
led to the failure
of those drugs. And that's one of the things.
And if we want to sanitize the market, that is where we should be looking at.
Exactly. There are so many unwholesome practices, quackery and all what have you. But we are just keep listening to us. We are going to be discussing this topic as time goes on. So the market should be closed. That's what we agree that. The open drug market is not...
totally agree.
There's no need for us to have the open drug market.
It shouldn't even be discussed.
Yes, we are going to take a very few examples of some events that has happened in the open drug market that shouldn't have happened, or it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't in the open drug market. For instance, in 1996, some businessmen representing a company from China known as V-Farm, they brought in and dumped... some fake drug worth over 200 million naira in Idumota market before they were apprehended and arrested. I am very sure that if somebody has a premise or premises where drugs are being distributed, or like the coordinated health center, or even the one we are using at the central medical stores, such thing can never happen.
Yes, because there's going to be quality assurance team to make sure or no of the source of this drug, even put the drugs to test before being accepted into the system.
Yes, of course. Also, another example is in that same Idumota, Idumota was the base for three businessmen who were aided by a very popular airline, you know, to import over 300 million naira worth of expired drugs before the airline was impounded by the then Minister of Aviation, that's in Mrs. Kema Chikwe, who was the aviation minister then. So there are so many things we can go on and on.
It's
the open
endless.
Drug market should not be, it shouldn't be, it's not even something we should be discussing at this time and age. So For instance, those of you that listening to us and you be like, why they want the open drug market to be closed? Maybe you should take your time, for any reason, take your time, maybe take a day or two and visit any of these open drug market that we have mentioned. Just stroll there, sit down there, watch what is happening, and at the end of the day, you will agree with us that there is no need for us to have open drug markets in Nigeria. And we have come to the end of this very first edition of our Pharmacy Post podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and then we hope that you stay tuned with us by next week, or you keep in touch with us by next week. You download our podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pharmacy Watch. That is capital letter D, Pharmacy Watch. You can like us on Facebook at The Pharmacy Watch. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Pharmacy Watch. If you have any information, any suggestion, any disagreements, you can send it. You can send it on our email at info@thepharmacywatch.com. That is info@thepharmacywatch.com. Well, thank you for listening to us. God bless you. See you next week.
Bye.